Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord and give thanks to God, for he is indeed good. And he who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Now, nobody else gets that except for Minna. Minna back here is laughing away because that is the title of the prelude that she played this morning. And I walked into the sanctuary here on Thursday and she was practicing it. And I started trying to sing it and I couldn't sing it. I couldn't get the key right. And or I thought I couldn't get the key right, but it dawned on me later. It's because I've never sung the melody to that. It's a chorus from Mendelssohn's great oratorio, Elijah. And I've always sung the tenor part, and I've never sung the soprano. So I couldn't sing it. But it's a beautiful piece of music, and it's great that we can start worship this morning with that. And we're pleased to have Minna leading us in worship this morning. Minna has been sharing her talents of music with the congregation as we continue to search for a new organist. This morning is the sacrament of Holy Communion, and we welcome all to the table who believe in Christ and wish to grow in their faith and love for him. We continue to use the pre-filled communion cups for the sacrament. So please just remember there's a little wafer on the top and lift that the cellophane that holds it in place before you lift the second layer that will enable you to take part with the juice that is in the cup underneath. This coming Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. we will be celebrating the funeral services for Mr. David McDougall here at St. John's. David is a child of the congregation, son of Archie and Gail, and passed away suddenly this past weekend. So I know people are wondering about times and place. We will be here on Wednesday at 11. As we come into the presence of our Lord, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we walk in the glory of his light. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and say together the call to worship as it appears before you on the screen.
Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before you, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of fear and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All your flesh with joy surround you, earth and heaven reflect your rays. Stars and angels sing around you, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing meadow, join to praise you joyfully.
Please be seated. And let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we praise the majesty and the mystery of your threefold name. Show your glorious presence. Speak your word of life and guide us into your truth so that all the world will know that we are your people and you are our God. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. Friends, by faith in Jesus Christ, we are given access to God's, the throne of God's grace. And standing in that grace, we now confess our sins before God, seeking forgiveness and peace. Let us pray together the words of the prayer of confession as they will appear before you on the screen. Triune God, within your own life, there is mutuality, equality, and unity in diversity. Though we are made in your image, we confess that we distort the triune life. Instead of seeking mutual welfare and the common good, we seek our own gain. Instead of living in equality, justice, and respect, we construct systems that are unjust. We devise ways to elevate ourselves over others, and disrespectful thoughts, words, and actions still surface in us. We allow differences to divide us and lead to brokenness. Holy God, forgive us. Restore in us and in our life together the divine image you intend. Make us tender in mutuality. Make us generous in equality. Make us grateful in diversity. We pray to be one with you and one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, we are standing in the grace of Christ because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and we are set free to love God and neighbor and to work for the reconciliation of the world. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us therefore give thanks to the Lord. Amen. This morning, as we come and worship, we celebrate a special day. This day in the calendar of the church is known as Trinity Sunday. It is the day when we celebrate the fact that God comes to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and reveals himself to us through those three persons of the Trinity. So as we come and listen to the scriptures, I encourage you this day to listen to the scriptures and listen to the ways that they speak about God's revelation through Father, Son, and Spirit. The Trinity has several symbols, and as we look around the church, sometimes we find symbols hidden in the artwork and especially in our stained glass windows. Spirit abounds, at least the ones I can see. And I don't know if it's because I think the company that made most of our stained glass was called McCausland, which is a kind of a good Scots-Irish sort of name. So I think they might have been Irish. Because if you look at our stained glass windows carefully, you'll find shamrocks or three-leaf clovers, which are one of those symbols of the Trinity. I think it's actually the one that's right next to Roy there at the back of the church that has that has shamrocks in it at the bottom. They're subtle. So if you want to wander around today and look at the stained glass and think about, look at all of the symbols that are there, and look especially for the threes. The three leaves of the shamrock, the three sides of a triangle, the three round orbs of the guilfoil, which is, are all symbols of the Trinity being present with us. So listen for the Trinity today, and perhaps as you leave the sanctuary this morning, you might want to just pause to admire the stained glass windows and to look for the signs that they use to tell of the story of the Trinity for us this day. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, you still have many things to say to us. Speak, and we will try to bear them. By your word, may the Spirit guide us into all truth, that our lives may glorify you through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory this day and forevermore. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first scripture this morning is from the Old Testament, the Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 1 to 4 and 22 to 31. Does not wisdom call and understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all who live." The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first beginning, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, when he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, playing before him always, playing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. The second reading from the Old Testament is responsive, Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established.
What are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them?
Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field.
The birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The next reading from the New Testament, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And the last reading from the New Testament, Book of John, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
Our hymn is May the Mind of Christ My Savior, number 644. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Faith that does not disappoint. How is it that we're supposed to describe the indescribable? How do you come to understand that which is unfathomable? This is the Christian dilemma. From as far back as the time when Jesus taught his disciples in the reading that we just heard from John's Gospel, our inability to fully comprehend the nature, the being, and the motivations of God has been beyond our imagining. If you think about it for a moment, think of the language of the church in our hymns, in our creeds. So often we have found it necessary to define God by what we are not. So often the adjectives that we use to describe God have prefixes attached to them at the beginning that point us beyond our human experience to something else. As I was selecting the hymns for this week, I looked momentarily at the hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, as the opening hymn. And if you notice in that title, there are those three words, immortal as opposed to mortal, invisible as opposed to us who are invisible, and all only wise as opposed to us who, well,
on the days we're honest, can be quite foolish. God defined by what we are not. Or the creeds of the church that affirm to us that God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. That God is all-powerful, as opposed to our limited power. All-knowing, as opposed to our limited knowledge. And ever-present, as opposed to our being fixed to time and place. Words that we use at no other time in our entire lives, we use in our faith discussions, in our fleeting attempts to describe God. Even in Scripture, you will note, the biblical writers sometimes struggle to find the words that will encompass everything that God is. And so instead, they are forced to draw on liturgy and analogy. They become poets that speak to God in image rather than by definition. In the psalm today, we heard the psalmist who seek to describe the glory of God by drawing our attention to the wonder of the created order all around us and the awe-inspiring beauty of the universe. The author of the Proverbs for this morning does likewise and also describes God based on his ageless promises to his people. It is because we struggle to imagine God from out of our experience that our gospel lesson for today begins with those words that Jesus says. Jesus says to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I have many things to say to you, but you will not now understand." As Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, they were words that spoke both to the present experience of those first disciples who were gathered around him physically, but also they are words that speak of the future promise to generations of disciples yet to come. Those of us who are the church, even today. As part of Jesus' farewell discourse, these words spoke to Jesus' disciples about what they would experience in the days leading up to his arrest and crucifixion. Things that they could indeed not even bear. And yet, for all of us who come after those first disciples, for the generations of Christians since, these words about Jesus' death and resurrection speak to us of the wonder and the love of our God. Who could imagine that the horrible death that Jesus experienced on the cross on Good Friday, the death of Roman crucifixion, could be the sign of hope and life for countless generations to come? How are we supposed to understand these things? How do we make them make sense? Jesus goes on to say that we do that by the Holy Spirit. John continues, in the Gospel of John continues, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And what is mine is the Father's. And for this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." We will be able to understand the events of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ because the Spirit will be for us the interpreter of God's love, seen in human form and interaction in the life of Jesus. Jesus' words speak of that interconnectedness between the, the Trinity. You notice that, right? The Spirit does not speak on her own, but speaks what she hears from Jesus. And what Jesus has received is what comes from God. None of the persons of the Trinity stand on their own, but each is interconnected to each other. Today is Trinity Sunday, the day in which we celebrate and acknowledge the mystery of our God. That the God who is greater than our imagining, yet stoops to redeem us through God's love. We experience that redeeming love in the person of Jesus Christ, the manifestation of God here on earth. And we dare to imagine such a wondrous thing because God speaks into our imagining in the person of the Holy Spirit, who allows us, but fleetingly, to glimpse our wondrous God. It is a mystery, and yet it is true that God speaks into our lives with words and works, with love and awe and wonder. And God is sufficient. The miraculous thing that we acknowledge as we come and celebrate the Trinity is that our God is a living and dynamic God, that we have a living and a dynamic faith that helps us in each day of our lives to address the things that are happening to us and around us, that our faith can be brought to bear on our lives and the life of our world. It is part of that process of which is referred to by theologians and scholars as sanctification. That having heard the word, we become holy ourselves, and then we go out into the world seeking to bring our holiness to bear on everything we do and everything we encounter. As we come this day, we celebrate God in our midst, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thank God for the mystery of the Trinity, for the mystery of the sacrament of communion that we shall celebrate, all means of grace by which we come to know God more dearly and to understand him more clearly. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we praise you. Through your word and Holy Spirit, you created all things. You reveal your salvation in all the world by sending to us Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Through your Holy Spirit, you give us a share in your life and love. Fill us with the vision of your glory, that we may always serve and praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Out of the abundance of God's own life, we have received the abundance of God's creation, God's word, and God's love. Why then should we live as though we are threatened by scarcity? Let us return to God a portion of all that we have been given with joyous and glad abandon. For God is good. Our tithes and our offerings will now be received. Let us pray. Holy God, you have poured out so much for us, the beauty of the world, the care of family and friends, meaningful labor, and the gift of the church. We give you thanks for these and many other gifts. And most especially, we thank you for pouring your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Through these offerings, may your love spill over in glad abundance that brings relief, renewal, and hope to those in need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And I would ask you to remain standing. I should have announced that before we had the offering, but I would ask you to remain standing that we might say together the Apostles' Creed. The Creed is found on page 539 in the Book of Praise and will appear before you on the screens. As we come before the Lord's table, we come confessing our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We join our voices with those of all time and place as we say these words together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Our Lord Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If those who hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to them and eat with them, and they with me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who find refuge in him." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Our communion hymn will appear before you on the screen. Let us sing to God's glory, O Holy Father, God most dear.
Accept for so every voice we pray the common.
Please be seated. As our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use and mystery. And as Christ gave thanks and blessed, let us now draw near to God and offer him our prayers and thanksgivings as we join our voices in prayer. Again, the great prayer of thanksgiving that we say in communion is a prayer that has existed in the church for thousands of years. There are responses to this prayer that will appear before you on the screen, or if you feel more comfortable with your head bowed, they are on page 564 in the Book of Praise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal triune God, whom we worship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ, you spoke the word that brought the world into being. By the Holy Spirit, you brought order out of chaos and breathed into your creatures. In parental love, you stood by us in spite of our disobedience, correcting us with gracious reproof and welcoming us again into your loving embrace. Therefore, we join our voices with choirs of angels and all the faithful of every time and place, singing glory to your holy name as we say together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Born of Mary, he came to dwell among us, full of grace and truth. To all who believed, he gave the power to become the children of God. In majesty among your own, Jesus cared for all, forgiving their failures, healing their hurts, and nurturing their faith, giving himself in utter sacrifice for those he loved. He inspired ordinary folk to spirit-filled living and displayed his life, death, and rising again through the power of your Spirit. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to his service. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of our faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one in Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Nurture us at this table, O God, that we may grow to the stature of Jesus Christ. Help us to love you above all else and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, demonstrating that love in deed and word toward all your children. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. And as Jesus taught his disciples, let us too be bold to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, on the night in which he was arrested, our Lord Jesus took bread. And after he had given thanks to God, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. This is the body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that through word and sacrament you have given us your Son, who is the true bread from heaven and food of eternal life. So strengthen us in your service that our daily living may show our thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn of praise is the hymn, "Glory Be to God the Father." The words of the hymn will appear before you on the screens.
Thank you.
And now let us go forth to greet the world at work, as here the Lord has greeted us in worship. Go forth in the name of God, the Creator, whose strength empowers us. In the name of Christ, the Redeemer, whose love transforms us. And in the name of the Holy Spirit, whose presence guides us. And may the blessings of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you this day and forevermore. Amen.